Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. So, thank you for coming back to my channel. And this is saying requiescat in pace Howard Flight, because his noble lordship, Baron Flight, has been called to the great big debating chamber in the sky a few days ago, but I only saw the news right now. So Howard Emerson Flight, he was a conservative politician. And I'll never forget when I was on the ferry to Ireland, going home that March 2005, in the run-up to the election that year, and the debate about Howard Flight having been dismissed. So he's a Conservative MP and a high-flying one. He was Deputy Chairman of the Conservative Party. So it was kind of equivalent to shadow cabinet status. And he gave a speech to, I think, what we assume was an all-Conservative audience, but a couple of journalists inveigled their way in. And he said, yes, in the manifesto, we're going to say we have these spending commitments. But in reality, we're going to slash spending because, yes, we want to cut spending. That's all very well. We can only do that if we win the election first. And therefore, we have to make these false promises. The declaration of such bogus promises is what leads to electoral victory. But that's not all direct quotation. And they managed to sound record him. They played it. So anyway, he was then dismissed by Michael Howard, who was leader of the party at the time. But it sort of got worse for him because he didn't want to stand down. And not only not to be a conservative spokesman at that level, deputy chairman, but he lost the whip. He's no longer part of the parliamentary party. He's an ordinary member of the party, as any man or woman could be. And so he could, but also that he could not be a parliamentary candidate. He couldn't fight the Arundel and South Down seat as the Tory again. So first of all, Mr. Flight, as anyone says, well, that's invalid. You have no power within the party rules to deselect me like that. You can't do this. It's ultra vires. So only my Conservative Association is able to deselect me. And he had their backing. So he sought legal advice. And then a Queen's Counsel said that he was correct in this. And Arundel and South Downs Conservative Association said, no, Flight is our candidate. We're not picking another one. And Conservative Central Office said, well, if you do this, we had that problem with Adrian Hilton, a Conservative candidate who said that the European Union is a Catholic conspiracy, then, you know, you won't get any funding and we will simply impose a candidate on you and blah, blah, blah. So now, was Howard Flight going to stand as an independent against the Conservative candidate? But eventually said, all right, I shall not contest this election. And the association then selected another candidate. I believe they held the seat. So that was it. Okay. Goodness. And then they parachuted in Nick Herbert. And there wasn't time for a proper selection. It was Central Office chose to put him there. So anyway, he still had another shot at it. He was put on the A list of candidates, which David Cameron introduced that year. The A list was to be 50% female, 10% ethnic minority. So only 40% of those were open to white males, and he managed to get on it. And he was not a spring chicken at the time, but he was never selected as a Conservative candidate anywhere else. So 5 years later, he got a consolation prize. He was made a peer of the realm, and that's it. So what else about his background? Well, anyway, I don't know where in the UK he was from, but he went to Brentwood, a minor public school in Essex. He went to Magdalen College, Cambridge. And then he studied business at the University of Michigan. And then he was in the city all his life. So he stood for Bermondsey, a safe Labour seat in the two elections in 1974, unsurprising without success. He'd also been a councillor on Westminster City Council and briefly Lord Mayor of Westminster. The Lord Mayor typically serves a year. So they each borough of London has a Lord Mayor, and he or she usually is one of the councillors there. So he's happily married for many years. And he was blessed with four children. Goodness. So, yeah, that was him. He had a very distinguished city career and a number of publications about finances. He was a dyed-in-the-wool Thatcherite, part of the Conservative Way Forward group. And indeed, it was addressing the Conservative Way Forward group in which he made those ill-advised comments. So why did Howard react so strongly to this? Was it the dishonesty, or was it the fact that he didn't agree with the cuts and so on? And then Howard, when he announced after 90, he narrowly lost the 2005 election. Conservatives got, you know, 32.3% of the vote, and was it Labour got 35% of the vote? And he said, the next election I will be, what, 70 something. And that is just too old to go on. So he would step down, but not immediately. He'd carry on in the caretaker capacity for 6 months, giving the Conservative Party time to recover from catatonic shock, to really ponder its future, to make a very considered decision about the next leader. They would narrow it down to a few candidates who would address the party conference that October. And indeed, that's what happened. Poor old Howard Flight. He'd hoped to be, chief secretary of the Treasury. He aspired to eventually be Chancellor Exchequer, and it didn't happen for him. But yeah, he was involved in Investec and so on. So he published a lot about the city. And so that's him. So I never got to meet him. What do you think about Howard Flight? I mean, typical conservative, I suppose, not the most interesting person in the world. And by those injudicious comments, that's what failed him, I suppose. Or if you hadn't been so unlucky that person got into the room, that journalist and recorder all, he would still have been an MP, 2010, probably still an MP, maybe a position in David Cameron's cabinet. All right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then to PayPal, georgecarlin79@gmail.com. Goodbye.